Oh, I'd like to recognize that the Holy Spirit's in this place. Amen. Oh, y'all can do better than that. Go ahead and give it an amen. Yeah. Listen, if there ought to be a group of celebrated people on the face of this earth, it ought to be those who are following Jesus Christ. If you're going to listen to the news and let the news dictate your the way you feel emotionally, here's what I say every time I finish a news segment. Thank you, Jesus, for being in charge. And thank you, Jesus, that you have a plan worked out even when we can't find it or see it or feel it, that you're still in motion, Lord. Well, go with me to Acts, first chapter. I want you to remember. I want you to receive. Okay, this is about receiving. Chuck and Ann, welcome back. I'm glad y'all, Ann, thanks for bringing Chuck back safely. And I preached last week on the baptism, the power of the Holy Spirit, and what it means to be empowered. And we know without that, you couldn't have gotten Chuck back. So we're glad that it's here. I mean, y'all glad to know that Jesus Christ not only has forgiven you of your sins, okay? Keith prayed something in that offertory prayer that was very significant that a lot of us don't see yet. Your sin wasn't just covered up, okay? Jesus didn't take some like grace cologne and spray it over your sin. How many of y'all have ever had that moment you came in the evening, it was a little quick and you had to go somewhere and you didn't have time to get totally cleaned up. So you just sprayed some fragrance over your dirt. Huh? Anybody ever done that? How many of y'all notice that wears off about halfway through the evening? And people start going, it's nice to see you. And they're backing off. That means the fragrance has left. Grace is not a fragrance. Grace has taken the dirt, the gunk, the nastiness, the sin, and it's been removed out of your life. So now you can be empowered with the presence of the Holy Spirit. So what do we call that? You've been baptized by the power of the Spirit. Now, we in the evangelical Protestant church, especially in Baptist circles, we haven't done a really good job of understanding the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is an empowering moment. I told you last week that I thoroughly believe the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes the minute you receive Jesus Christ. The minute you receive Jesus Christ. Why does it do that? Because I believe the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are one. So, you know, when you get Jesus, you get the understanding that God is the creator and you get the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And here's the thing, church, once you understand this, you'll get on with it. Some of you all are waiting to get something else before you go on. Here's what I'm saying. You got everything you will need from eternity. Everything you need from now to eternity, which is a long time. I sound like Buzz Lightyear. From now to eternity is already in you through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you notice, the Bible doesn't ask you all the time, get some more. It's really leaning to you to release what you have, which is a totally different mentality than we have in our culture. Our culture says we need this so we can do this. God says, I've given you everything that you need. I've supplied all your needs. My grace is sufficient for your salvation. My grace is absolutely sufficient for anything you will encounter. Now go and what? Live. Go and live. How many times did Jesus use that line in the New Testament? Go now and what? Live. Told the woman who was caught in adultery, all of your sin is forgiven. Not some of your sin is forgiven. All of your sin is forgiven. Not just the one you got caught at, but all your sin is forgiven. Go now, Nathan. And he said, what? Sin no more. I have empowered your life to be changed. How many of y'all glad to know that you live an empowered, changed life? So now, church, this is where we are. You're going to hear this the rest of the year. You go, I'm going to get tired of hearing it. Well, let me tell you what. I'll quit saying it when you do it. I'll quit saying it when you do it. This church will be released whenever one of you decide at least once a year to share the gospel in such a way that the Holy Spirit would use the words he's given you already to connect with another human being, the grace of God. It ought to be about 5,000 baptisms a year. Now, here's what's so sad. Some of you doubt that can happen. Some of you are saying, well, Pastor Ayers, that's not what the church was designed for. I got a group of pastors now, since it's not happening in their place, they've wrote a paper to explain how it's not happening. But they overlook some scripture that we'll be into here in just a little while. Acts 2, when the Holy Spirit hit, you know what? God didn't start a small group. He didn't start a small group. Now, this bothers. Well, God, no. 3,000 that day were baptized. That day. Fainter, I've never seen 3,000 baptized in a day. Now, obviously, that there's more than that that happened every Sunday now in the world. Because, you know, we're at the beginning of the movement. But guess what? We doubt what God might do. And so today I'm going to ask you to put on your hat and for just a moment give God some of your attention and not doubt what God might do. God's at work in this place. There's no doubt about it. Friday night I walked into this place and Jamie was asked that question, what kind of church is this? Well, I can say with a smile on my face because I have seen the evidence, this is the church that will throw a party for the least of these. This is the church that will throw a celebration and invite those who are left out into the kingdom of God. Now, let me show you how New Testament that is. Jesus talks a lot more about banquets, parties, receiving, and celebrating than he does straining. He welcomes people to his celebration. And many times we want to welcome people to our task instead of welcoming people to his celebration. Now, we got to go and be located where God says be located. How many of you all are convinced that we're supposed to be located in Bowling Green, Kentucky? Come on, talk to me today. How many of y'all are convinced of that? I'm convinced of that. Our particular assignment, watch this. The move of all nations starts in Bowling Green for us. And if everybody would just understand this, y'all pray for me. If I could get my colleagues to understand this, if I could get my fellow co-laborers to understand this in the kingdom of God, we could save literally billions of dollars. Missions around the world starts in your house. It starts with you. It starts with me. It starts with a human being being changed by the grace of God. And then it leads to those around you and then those around them. And then eventually, guess what? You'll end up in Bosnia from Bowling Green. You'll end up in Bangladesh from Brownsville. You will end up in places you never thought you would go if you'll just go with Jesus. Somebody say, I understand that. Now, that's a weak understanding of that. How many of y'all, I understand that. So Jeff Crabtree, they give you this title. What are you now, an executive director or director of missions or whatever? Watch. And they say you're in an association. You've heard my spiel here. I say they're wrong. I say the collective churches in Warren County are not just a local ministry. They're a global ministry. Because wherever you meet Jesus, you've met the world. So for a long time, I was frustrated as a Southern Baptist because I didn't know why we had home missions and foreign missions. I don't understand all that. I don't know how we have local and state missions. In fact, I don't even know how we have missions, since that's not a word that Jesus ever used. He had a mission. He died on a cross. He's risen from the grave, and there's a mission. Whoever might believe and receive him shall live and not perish. And those who reject and those who deny will perish into an eternal hell prepared for the devil and his angels. There is a mission. And I'm glad to know that you're a part of it and you're willing to be a part of it. First of all, how many of you all are thankful that you're redeemed, that you have been changed by God? Do I hear any excitement that you are changed by God? That I am changed by God. We're redeemed. Now look at what happens to the redeemed. We got to wait. We got to wait till the power of God comes. Now, that was his instruction to those believers that had just seen him ascend into the heavens. The power of the resurrection is beginning to move. This is the first winds of the power of the resurrection to the group of people. Now he said, you go to Jerusalem and you wait. You wait till you understand. Now here's the problem. We shouldn't be waiting because the wind's already in motion. He told them to wait. They were the strike of the match that lights the fire. You and I are a continuation of that original strike. Pentecost is not dead. How many of y'all believe that? Now, there's some preachers out there, and they say, well, Pastor Ayers, I disagree with you. I believe in the church age and this age and that age and that age. I said, the problem I have with you is you drew the circles and created your own ages. If God wanted the Bible divided up like you've divided up, then why didn't he just divide it up like that originally? Oh, question. I'm talking about what God said. God said, you go wait. I'm going to empower you. And I want you to get these two words today. I'm going to empower you with my power, not your power, with my power. So the gospel message might be released to the world. Now, to me, that's the bullseye of the church. Have y'all heard that over the last 20 years? To me, that's the bullseye of the church. We're empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit, not so we can get in a room and dance around and tell everybody we've been baptized by the Holy Spirit. That'd be like filling up your car with gasoline and being excited that your car's filled with gasoline. It's that illogical. My car's filled with gasoline so I can get on with the mission. Now, what the charismatics do is they worship the fire instead of worshiping the fire giver. They get all excited about the fire. Well, the only reason you have fire is so that you can do the mission. The excitement's not in the fire. It's in the what? Mission. I've never been excited filling up my car unless gas prices were down. I mean, think about it. How many of y'all been, you go to the gas pump and go, man, I just tore up. I can't hardly hold the pump. I'm so excited that I'm fixing to put some power in my engine. I'm shaking and you just stand there and talk about the gas. Or is it the trip that you're excited about? Now you understand the kingdom of God. He's empowered us to the mission. It's not the additives. It's not the things that go into it that we need to get excited about. It's the mission. So look what he says for us to do. Let's look. So when they met together. Now, in Acts, we're going to hear this all the time. So when they met to what? It is important that we learn this understanding. Together, great things of God can be seen. We saw them here Friday night. Chase, did you do that mission that God asked you to do all by yourself? Did you invite a whole lot of people to come in and be a part of what God was going to do? Absolutely. You know what? There were more servants than there were participants. That's the way it ought to be in every event. There ought to be more servants than in participants. We want you to know our God, and we'll do whatever it takes so that you might know our God. And when the church gets that attitude, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ regains that attitude again, then the church will learn that she is an unstoppable force in this world. I want to serve. Hillview, I want you to get that. I want to serve. I want to serve. I want to serve. I want to thank you all for something, especially here at 8 o'clock. The bless me attitude is leaving this, especially this service. The bless me attitude is leaving our church. Can you all applaud that God's taking that out? Okay? And if you still got some of that, you'll grow up. Just hang on, okay? Maturity is marked by those who want to serve, not those who want to receive. If you've been living the faith for 20 or 30 years and you're still on the receiving mentality, you've missed the story. You really have never read the Bible. The way you've read the Bible is with your highlighter, only highlighting what? The verses that talk about you receiving something. I was proud of everybody. We moved the chairs around the first year, and I didn't hear a bunch of grumbling and complaining from a like 3-year-old mentality. You said, well, surely they'll put them back eventually. And some of you said, they're crazy. I've been at it 20 years. Just praise be unto God. At least they hadn't tore the building down, okay? In other words, we've learned to get past that stuff that matters to us. Hold on, this is important. You got to get past the stuff that matters to you to receive the things that matter to God. When you get there, you'll start living a mature faith. Is that easy? No. Because guess what most of us want? Watch this. I hadn't heard this in our church in a while, and I praise God that I hadn't heard it. Jim Britt, you've probably heard this a zillion times. I don't know how big a zillion is, but I'm sure we're going to find out. We're at a trillion now. I guess zillion's next. I don't know. How many times have you heard this? Well, I'd go to that church, but that preacher just don't fill my cup. How many of you heard that? My cup just doesn't get filled. You know what somebody's telling me when they tell me that? I am an arrogant human being. I go to church to make sure that my glory is received and filled up. And if I'm not personally blessed among the gathering, then I'm going to go locate my presence somewhere else. Really, guess what ought to be happening? If you really want to know how to go to church, you ought to come out of here and say, my cup is empty because I've poured out everything I got today. I've poured it out in the gathering. I've worshiped as much as I could worship. I've listened as best I could listen. I have taught as hard as I could teach. I have preached like God has called me to preach. I have praised like God has called me to praise. I am empty. Because as soon as you release it all, then God will give you what else you need. How many of y'all are living on a stale blessing? Follow me, how many of y'all are living on a stale blessing? All you can do is remember what God has done, but you're not in a current event of what God is doing. Kind of like, you know, bread, fresh bread is good, isn't it? When should you eat fresh bread? Oh, so, there's a Texan. As soon as it comes out of the oven. Oh, yeah. Any of y'all like sourdough bread? Any of y'all ever had sourdough bread? I love sourdough bread. Elizabeth doesn't feed that to me anymore, or John Hagee and I would look a lot alike. But I remember when we first got married, Elizabeth cooked bread, you know. I mean, back then she was amazed with me. And so she cooked me a loaf of bread. That wore off. And remember, I used to eat a whole loaf of sourdough bread, sitting there just watching that little 17-inch TV we had. And I just, it's fresh. Sometimes I'd want to save it, though, so I'd save it and I'd wrap it up. And you know what? Two or three days later, Mark, that bread was hard. How many of y'all have been saving your blessing instead of releasing your blessing? You're holding on to what was instead of letting God move in what is. Well, that's part of being baptized by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is a continuation and not a moment. That's one thing I want you to get. It is a continuation and not a moment. And a lot of us are on our moment. Well, I want to be in the continuation of what God's doing. How many of y'all glad that you're still a continuation? That you know why we have, yeah, George now. See, George is clapping. Why is George clapping? Because he had some doctors tell him he wasn't going to continue. But then he had a God that said, not yet. See, he's aware of that. The rest of us, how many of y'all just take life for granted? Most of us take life for granted until the doctor tells us we got a lump or a bump or that we got something and our life is going to be shorter than we thought it was. How many of y'all realize that all of us, our lives are going to be shorter than we thought they were? How many of you all are older already than you thought you would be? I really am. How many of you all have got stuff falling off your body already that you thought would never fall off? How many of you found that gravity is a reality? What once was up always comes down. Like your shoulders, your chest, your knees, your feet, huh? Yeah. Fallen. We are fallen. I mean, when God said we are a fallen being, he wasn't kidding. Because not only are we fallen in spirit and in soul without Christ, our bodies are constantly falling. Have you noticed how our bodies are not going up? How many of y'all are that detected? You know, it's kind of funny. If you really look at gravity, God reminds me all the time that this thing, this earth suit I live in, is heading south. And my soul and my spirit is greater than my body. Now, when I was young, My body was everything. And now guess what I'm aware of? It can't do what it used to do. How many of y'all are that far along? It just can't do what it used to do. Now, some of you young men looking at me, mine can do one time what it used to do. So if you come at me, I'm not talking. I'm clubbing you immediately because that's all the strength I got. I don't have any endurance. But you know what? Our spirit will always, always, God's spirit in us will always outwork our ability. Now you're tapping in to what it means to be empowered by God. They met together. Now in Acts, we're going to see a lot of meeting together. I want to encourage you, and I'm preaching to the choir here. You all have learned that it's important to meet together. How many of y'all have ever heard somebody say this? Well, I love Jesus and I'm a Christian, but I don't want to have anything to do with the church. I can do it all on my own. Y'all ever heard that one? Yeah, me too. What did they just tell you? I've never read the Bible. Because it's very important that we meet together. Gary Williams, one of our previous journeyers here at Hillview, told me one time, he said, "Preacher, you know what all these people that want to stay home, watch these TV preachers," he said, "the reason they can do that, because it's easy to go to church by yourself." Because he said, when you go to church by yourself, you always like everybody. See, a lot of us want to sit in our chair and have our God. That's where we're in trouble. Our deal is we got to worship the God. And sometimes my God's not the God. How many of y'all like to have a custom designed God? You want God to custom fit your life. And what God does, he doesn't do that. He calls us to custom to his life. Not ours, but what? His. And he gives us the power of the Holy Spirit to do that. Now look, they met together. This is important. They met together. You all are meeting together. Thank you for that. So when they met together, they ask him. They ask him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" Now let's think about for just a moment what has happened. How many of y'all realize that they've witnessed Jesus Christ's death on a cross? They've seen his resurrection. They saw it. They've been with him for 40 days in Jesus' appearances. He's ascended unto the heavens. Now, that would have taken me a few days to get over if I'd have been on that mount and Jesus said, "May you be blessed. May you go to Jerusalem and may you wait till I send you power." And then he goes, "Abba, beam me up." Boom. I don't know about you, but this would have messed with me as a disciple for a couple of days. I would have probably called Mark and said, "Mark, can you believe that Jesus just went bing and ascended into the heavens?" And I'd have been asking, "Where did he go? Where did he go?" I'd have been asking everybody I knew that hung out with Jesus, "Where did he go, Fainter?" I'd have been asking that question. I'd tell you, "Where is he now?" And there would have to be a few faithful reminding me. He said, "Go and meet together and wait." I said, "Yeah, I know he said that, but I want to know where he is." I'll tell you where he is. He's in the wait. You know how we miss Jesus? He's in the wait. Wait until I send you. And how many of us want to go and find him? Instead of wait till he what? Sends you. That's when we got to meet together to keep each other in line. Because watch, even after all of these powerful events, what are they asking? Are you going to what? Restore what?
Israel.
You see, they're more concerned about their country, their nation, their political situation than they are the eternity that's in them. Does that sound familiar? What's this? They don't understand that they're worshiping, because we'll go into Romans and other places, and they don't understand that they're worshiping a God beyond Israel. And all they can see is what?
Israel. Is this the time you're going to restore Israel?
It's kind of like this, yes and no. Yes, anybody can be restored through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. As far as this being that kingdom moment that you're looking for, That's not your concern. Your concern's the role, to move with me. Look what he says. It is not for you to know the time or dates the Father has set by his own authority. Now, please be careful with trying to find God's time. Which is, God calls us into the being with him. How many of y'all spend more time trying to figure out when it's going to? I bet I had in the last year. I don't know, other pastors, how many of y'all have been asked questions, is this the end of time? Any of y'all had those questions? I've had a lot more of those questions at this moment of my ministry than any other time, except the Y2K. Remember, I got a bunch of questions. You remember when we went to 2000 and, you know, everybody was collecting food and storage and all those things and digging holes in the yard because all the computers were going to have a glitch and everything was going to be gloom and doom. And there was a lot of companies that made a lot of money off survival kits at the turn into 2000. We woke up January the 1st, 2000, and it was January the 1st, 2000, and guess what? All the computers worked. In fact, I was preaching revival in 1999 in the fall. This preacher asked me, he said, are you prepared for the end? I said, yeah. So I got prepared when I was 9. I said, Lord Jesus, come into my life, save me of all my sin. And that was a long list at 9. I even added to it along the way. And I believe that Jesus died on the cross and risen from the grave. And guess what? That prepared me for the end. Isn't it pretty cool with God that the beginning is the end? And so if you're the beginning and the end is taken care of in an instant, then the middle is just be with God. Does that make sense? But watch, it's human to want to know when. And Jesus' response to this group of people was, I got a mission for you, and I don't want you to be distracted with your mission. Are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? That's not your mission. That's not what you've been baptized in power for. How many of us do that sometimes? We always want a side mission to God's mission. God wants us to get this great message out to the world. I'm going to show you. Because the mission is to roll. Look what he says. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. But you will receive what? When what? Now you go, oh, wait a minute. I thought you said the Holy Spirit was with you as soon as you got saved. Where are we? Where are we in the Bible? We're just starting. See, you have to read the Bible with the timeline. Here's where people come up with all kinds of goofy ideas. They try to make the first century the 21st century. There's some things already in motion. God is going to reveal what the Holy Spirit looks like after the resurrection. And I'm going to show you, if you go read your Bible real alert-like, the Holy Spirit's always been, but the Holy Spirit moves totally different after the resurrection than pre-resurrection. Why? What's changed? Grace. See, there is no grace till there's a resurrection. Matthew chapter 1:1 is not the New Testament. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 is a hopeful promise. At the end of the gospel is the gospel. He is risen from the... So not only was Jesus a prophecy, not only was Jesus a prophet, it is at the resurrection that we understand he is Lord, he is King, he is God, he is Alpha, he is Omega, he is Counselor. But he is what he said he was in the Gospel of John. I am the resurrection. Now that power is different. And it's fixing to be released on about 120 folks. Now here's what I want you to see God's rhythm. God takes a small group and does amazing things with multitudes. God takes a small group and does amazing things with what? Multitudes. Now, how many of us do this? Raise your hand if you've ever been guilty of this. You've been in some ministry moment. Instead of just being in the ministry moment, you were looking around to see who didn't show up to help you. Every pastor's guilty of that. Well, I thought so-and-so would be here. Well, I thought we'd have 120 to help, and we only got 16. Now, watch, I want to help you. That's the same question there. What about the kingdom of Israel, Jesus? When are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? What about this situation, and what about that situation? Man, I want you all to turn your lives on. Guess what? God will always give you enough to get it done. Chase, did you have enough to get it done the other night? Were there some missing? No. God had who he needed there. I've become convinced of this. Now, I wasn't when I was 21, but I am now. God's got enough to get it done. And numbers are irrelevant. The Crabtree, when I was a young preacher, and I have to confess, those days are over. I used to look at the crowd. And I was looking at the wrong place. Man, it's a great event. We had 100 show up. Guess what I say now? I've seen 100 show up and it was 100 folks that do nothing. There's no merit in that. There's no joy in that. And I was soon to learn, God knows, there's no power in that. I've seen stadiums filled with people where nothing happened. Because they are not the source of power. And guess what? I've been in groups of 4 or 5 and seen God take a moment and affect multitudes. You know, hey, God's into this. He'll take a little bread, a little fish, and do amazing things. God will take a little mud and give you some new eyes. God will take little things and work great things. Look next to you. He's doing it now. He's taking who you are and working a great thing. That's why these things are possible. I just want you to know this is possible, and I hope you'll be released in this. I hope you will be more than stimulated. It didn't say right there in our Bible, did it, Jerry, that the Holy Spirit came to stimulate us. Did you notice that it didn't use that word? It didn't say, and I'm going to send my power so that you might be stimulated. You know why God doesn't stimulate us? You can't win being stimulated. I know people that have been stimulated and went and got beat like a drum. You ever seen that happen, Jones? How many of y'all have ever seen somebody excited in a locker room and miserable on the field? I never will forget watching this football game. I never will forget this football game. It was a state championship game, and Boyle County was playing in that game. And their opposing team had made the state championship. They're jumping up and down. They're hooping and hollering. They're ready to go. They're going to take them on. It's Glasgow. They were playing Boyle County, state championship game. Boyle County walked out. They had no height. They didn't have armbands on and headbands on. They didn't have numbers on the side of their socks. They didn't have bandanas coming out of the back of helmet. They all looked alike, and they walked out on the field. They didn't say a word. They didn't have a bit of rah-rah, and they all lined up, boom, at the same time. They moved at the same time. They all had the same kind of socks on. They all had the same uniform. And as they were looking at the opposing team jumping around and going through all those antics, you know, that things go to, guess what they were determining? How bad they were going to beat them by. And in the moment they had a kickoff, guess what? All that rah-rah, all that chatter, and all that talk didn't mean anything, because as soon as the guy with all the rah-rah touched the ball, they planted him on about the 3-yard line. And they realized from that moment on that they weren't playing a hype team. They were playing a team that was on a mission. They had already won 5 state championships, so one more was just adding to their collection. It wasn't talk for them. When they handed the ball to the referee after a touchdown, they didn't have to act like they had been there before. They lived there. You see, for one, it was a hopeful wish, and for another, it was a way of life. We ought to have a way of life that looks like a mission. Because we're in mission. It's a way of what? Life. You know what he said? But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. For what? To release this great message of Jesus to the world. We have power so that Jesus might be known. Look what he says on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. Where were they waiting? Somebody pay attention here. Where were they waiting? So where's the first place they're going to be a witness? Reverend soon to be Dr. Reynolds. Where were they waiting? And where did God empower them? And then where did he say, tell it? Oh, Eric, isn't that disappointing? Why didn't God have a great global plan for him right out of Jerusalem? He did. Tell it. Because when you tell it in Jerusalem, when you tell it in Jerusalem, it's going to get into Judea. You know why we hadn't gone, Crabtree? You know why it's so hard to go global now? Because we won't tell it in Jerusalem. The hypocrisy of the Southern Baptist Church is nauseating. Stand up and make me feel guilty about not telling the gospel to the world when we won't share the gospel to our neighbor. These preachers telling me about their heart for Africa when they could care less about the people in Alverton going to hell. You see, the heart, the real heart of God is for everybody, not a few folks. It's for everybody. And it starts where I am, and then it goes to the nearest next place, Judea. It starts at the house, and it moves to the neighbor's house, and then it moves into the neighborhood, and then it moves into the state, and then it moves into the nation, and then it moves to the next nation, and it moves to the next nation, and it moves to the next nation, and before long, you got a world pointing toward Jesus. 4.5 billion unsaved people in the world. And the ones that we statistically claim saved is real loose. Like Christmas attendance and Easter attendance and some admittance that you have been around the church, which you and I know because we've been taught Bible that that's not a source of salvation. Let me ask you a question. Do you think it's time for us to continue the mission that God started 2,000 years ago? Billions of people have been affected by this moment right here. But guess what we want to do? I spent a pretty good chunk of my life trying to find a strategy. Then I read the Bible, and there it was, right in front of me today. Receive the power that God has given me. Release that in Jerusalem. That means in my immediate, be worshiping, be witnessing. Now, some of you are going to go, well, my gift's not witnessing. I understand. It's your mission. Don't hand me all that hogwash. I don't have the gift of evangelism. That's a lie of the devil up in your head. You know how to tell the story. And if you can't speak, sign it. God will give you a way to get it out. Won't he, Nathan? Didn't you roll up in D.C. the other day and give them a little Jesus? Yeah. Some people say you can't walk. They don't know what they're talking about, do they? Because you walk a lot better. I say this to Nathan all the time. He walks a lot stronger than a lot of you that think you're moving. You know why? Nathan's never looked at what he doesn't have. He just does what God has given him with. And if you've been around him more than 2 minutes, you know God taught him how to talk. And then for some reason, he installed an argumentative gear in him too at the same time. And he uses it for the glory of God. He uses it in Jerusalem. I see Nathan's been faithful. At the first talk I saw him do, bless his heart, Jamie. Now, I don't want to make Jamie feel bad, but let's do it, Nathan, all right? Right now, as far as I know, best I can calculate, you've had the largest Wednesday night crowd of any Wednesday night preacher we have, including the one we have full time. Hold on, we'll show you with Nathan. Nathan, start aware. It's Jerusalem for you, isn't it? Since you've been a 9-year-old kid, it's Jerusalem. He launched it in Jerusalem, and he's ended up in Judea, D.C. From D.C., he might end up in London. From London, he might end up in Egypt. Trish's going, well, Pastor Steve, you think it's safe there? No, it's not, Trish. And it's not safe in Bowling Green. And it's not safe in your neighborhood. And it's not safe. Nowhere safe. I'll tell you the truth. Nowhere safe. You ever read the Bible? Jesus didn't say, and I send you out among these beautiful people so you might come back blessed. Were those the words? Dale, is that what Jesus said? Or did he say, I send you out like lambs among wolves? You know why he sends us out like that, Freddie? He wants us to know who the shepherd is. And if the shepherd sends the sheep to a wolf, then a sheep can beat a wolf. Now hold on, sheep. If you go without the shepherd's call, that wolf will ravish you. So it's not where you want to go. Just go with God. And here's this system. Jerusalem and in all Judea and to where? Samaria. Watch this. They were familiar with those three places, weren't they? Jewish. The other part of Judaism. And then those half guys. Samaritan. Somewhat Jewish and somewhat something else to the end of the world. To the Jews, to the Gentiles, to the ends of the what? World. Hillview, I just want you to know that we're like absolutely committed to that. And God's breaking it loose. And if y'all give me 2 minutes, I just want to show you some things I want you to get in prayer already. This is our mission. You're going to hear about the activity of God constantly. We're going through the whole book of Acts. If you don't want to be active in Christ, go get you another church. We're fixing to release this ministry. I mean, like it's never been released. And I know some of y'all are sitting there going, well, Pastor Steve, I've been with you for 19, 20 years. By gosh, I know what that means. Well, good. I don't. You know more than your pastor does then, that's for sure. Because I don't know what it means to be all over the world. I know this. I know what it means to be in Costa Rica. I know what it means to be in Brazil. I know what it means. There's some places we bumped into. I know what it is to be in Richardsville. That's foreign country. Isn't it, Timmy? We got prophets in there now. Timmy, he stands at the watch gate over Richardsville. It's going to be everywhere. Everywhere. Markel's already got, Mark, one of your hearts that God's lighting up in you that came from several is to get clean water where there's dirty water. We can do that at Hillview. Why? We got one of the greatest gifts in this church that could be given to a church. We know how to build stuff. And for people like me that don't know how to build stuff, we know how to hand stuff to people that know how to build stuff. And when we're willing to do that, guess what? God can empower us through the baptism and the power of the Holy Spirit to get it to Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria. We're a church. Jamie, I'm going to answer that question that you asked. What kind of church is this? It's a church that throws a party for those who can be saved. And it does it on Sunday, and it does it on Friday nights, and it does it in marriage ministry, and it does it to special needs ministry, and it does it to children and to youth, and it does it to everyone who has a pulse. It says, come and understand that God, his name is Jesus. He's died on a cross. He's risen from a grave, and he has already sent us to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the what? World. I'm telling you, it's from Plano to Poland. But guess why you never see Poland? Because you never waited in Plano. You know why a lot of people want to go to another country and do ministry? It's because nobody knows you over there. See, people love going to Costa Rica because they think you're cool right off the bat because you're an American. They think you're cool. I mean, I know you. I know you're not cool. And I don't speak enough Spanish to say they're conning you. That's the truth. Most people like to do their missions in a week. They like to blow in and blow out, hand out a few Jesus cards and say, I've done my ministry for the year. That's a vacation. A ministry says, a ministry is what Freddie does. You go back and you go back and you go back and you go back. And you love those people and you hurt with those people and you watch God work with those people. It takes more than a week to do ministry. It takes a lifetime. And God gives you one. To be in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the what? World. Let's close here. He releases us. He releases us. And after he had said this, he was taken up before their very eyes. And a cloud hid him from their sight. Now, I don't know about you. That sounds like Jesus was pretty serious about this. Witness in business. What do y'all think? Andrew, it sounds like that he's more serious about that than healing. What do you think, Fainter? He didn't say, now make sure you heal everybody in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. He didn't say it. I'm just telling you what he said. He didn't say, and make sure you start a seminary in Jerusalem, and then Judea, and then Samaria. These aren't bad things. These just aren't the thing. And we've lived out this faith for 2,000 plus years, and I'm just telling you, we got some stuff that's not important in front of what's important. We want to know when God's going to restore Israel. Here's a big question now everybody's asking me. Do you think it's the end of time? I don't know. Now, I'll be real honest with you. We ain't in the first quarter. Game on. You know what? If you cared that it was the end of time, you'd be telling everybody you could about Jesus. Because let me tell you what happens at the end of time. I do know absolutely what happens at the end of time. Those people who don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, they depart from the possibility of grace forever and ever. And the ACLU can't plead your case. And the Huffington Post can't tell everybody that that's unjust and doesn't feel good. And Fox News can't spin that to get you in. And you don't get any points for being a Republican, and you don't get any points for being a Democrat, and you don't get any points for buying Girl Scout cookies. But this will make the absolute difference. Watch, some of y'all going to show Jesus all you, what you did at school. You're going to be just like a five-year-old kid bringing in that, look, Jesus, I have a PhD. He's going to go, yeah, that means you know one thing kind of well. You're talking to the all-knowing, all-merciful God. You're talking about to the God that created the very physics you tempted to understand. You're talking about the God, internet. I don't need internet. I have transcendental, sensational, multi-connection throughout the universe thought in instantaneous response. Oh. You mean Bill Gates couldn't get that one? He couldn't get that one. Well, Lord, I had a bunch of money. He goes, yeah, I know. I call that pavement up here. Do y'all realize what we call standard, God calls pavement? Used to a long time ago when we believed in having a solid economy. We used to have our economy set on something called the gold standard. We actually had substantive to the paper. Now we have our economy set on, I hope it works. And you know what? It'll implode. It always does. We always implode in humanity. It's history. We all do it. You know why? We worship ourselves long enough to kill us. That's the cyclical response of every nation. You know what Rome said? They would be there forever. But they said, Claypool, they got up in that chariot, boy, and they said, nobody builds a chariot like Rome. Caesar is God! And the masses cheered. And now it's a bunch of rubble where there used to be celebrated victory. Oh, by the way, Rome ruled the world for a moment. Greeks ruled the world for a moment. Hitler got a chunk of it. for a moment. You and I might be successful on our own for what? But we're all going to have to confront God. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. That's the mission. Give you a couple things I want you to put in your prayers that are going on great here. First of all, you heard about Chad. Chad's got a heart. He's a Barron County boy. He's already got the formations of the beginning of a church in Barron County. We're going to partner with him. We want to see a church in Glasgow. We're starting with a small group to see great things happen. There's a ministry there, just like there is everywhere. Also, another church that's on the boil. And if you want to get involved in this, this is a great, especially you 8 o'clock folks, y'all could have a great time on Sunday. You could worship at 8 o'clock, filled up, empowered, and then you could become a part of your second worship experience on Sunday, and your teaching experience could be at the church on Main. And that's located exactly where it's located, on Main. That will be opening worship up, you know, down on Main Street, okay? And what we're going to hear is we're going to see God move at that area of our county in a big way. Jeff, I expect once it gets rolling, over 100 baptisms down there a year. That's my expectation. We sure didn't partner with First Baptist Church to go down there and give them some Oreo cookies and some Kool-Aid and see 2 baptisms every 5 years. So I just want you all to know that your pastor does not consider that ministry. So when you come tell me, everybody ate stuff and they were really happy. I mean, I really want you to know, I could care less. I mean, go to Chuck E. Cheese if that's all you want. It's not Jesus. Jesus said, I've come to give you a new life. Not to momentarily, entertain you. Not to stimulate you for a moment. I've come that you might be reconditioned. No, I've come that you might be remade. Forever and ever, amen. That's what this church is about. It's what it's going to continue to be about. I hope you're excited about being a part of that. Amen. Now, can I give you a warning? If you're unwilling to get up off your person, y'all following me? How many of y'all sometimes have a sitting problem? God is not a God that is impressed with us sitting and watching what he does. We'll discover that next week. He wants us to move in how he's empowered us. So here's what I'm excited about. We got some folk on the move. If we double that, what's our city going to look like? If we double the people ministering now, what will our city look like? Begin to get that vision. Ask God to double the ministry for us at Hillview. Double it. So, Pastor Steve, after it doubles, what are we going to do? Double it again. Yeah, some of you, Woosley, you might be the great missionary in China. I don't know. Woosley's take over China. What a story. I don't know. Crabtree God might send you to, he might send you to some little town in Africa. Look a lot like Franklin, Kentucky, because you're familiar with that. Who knows? It's not out of the realm of possibility. God might send me over there to the Congo somewhere to preach the gospel. And y'all see me, man, I'll be running as fast as I've ever run in my life. They'll be throwing spears at me, and I'll be saying, he wants to save you. They'd freak out if I caught one of them spears and threw it back, wouldn't they? There is a Jesus. He's the God of the world. How many of y'all believe that? Well, if you do, stand up. If you believe he's the God of everywhere. Oh, come on, he's the God of everywhere. First call this day. First call this day. Has he empowered you to everywhere? If he hadn't, say, God, I know you have. Now give me the will to move. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, there's some of you today. The greatest thing that happened to you is this. Lord Jesus, save me of my sin. Enter into my life. I know I'm a sinner. I know you're a savior. I repent and receive. What's the message of Acts? Receive the power. Receive his grace. Receive his mission. Receive it. And so I'm just going to ask you right now to pray with me and let's release this altar. God, I don't know if we've gone long or short. I hope we've gone in your direction. And so, Lord, I just ask right now that you move this altar. Those who need to be baptized will come and say, I am going to be obedient to baptism. Most of all, those who need Jesus will come and receive Jesus. Those who need to understand the Holy Spirit wants out of them into Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, and to the ends of the world. I pray that they would be willing. They would be willing to say, God, here I am. Send me. Send me into this world. I believe in you, Jesus. So guess what? This altar's open. Your moment's here. God's already got that moment. Come and join God's moment in your life. That's what I'm asking you to do. Join with the moment God wants you to have. Come on, thank you for coming. If y'all don't mind, we need to do speed altar today. We ain't got a lot of time to think because we got a lot of people at the doors. You know God's worked on you. Come on, let him have this moment.